Listen to your father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, we behold Christ from the written word as he sees us in himself. He is glorified, we are edified. There is no error in this atmosphere. There's clarity today, even as I hear and listen to the word. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's open to Matthew 28, right? I want to shock you today. I want to see who will open first. Open to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. If you go to the table of contents. Okay, you're there. Man of God. Hallelujah. Okay, Haggai 2. Glory to God. Haggai chapter 2. You know, we began talking about the glory, the greater glory. And, okay, something is telling me to go back to Matthew 28. My name starts from Haggai 2. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 28. Put your hand in Haggai 2. Let's go to Matthew 28. I'm back to Matthew 28. So if you said Matthew 28, of course you're right. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay. Now he says, go make disciples. And we said, when he uses that word disciples, matters to you, we'll have something underneath, right? Which is what? Knowledge and what? The local church. Hallelujah. So, let's just quickly point out what we said concerning a disciple. We said a disciple who learns by what? Learns by what? By observation. A disciple, you know, there's a whole lot to learn by observing. Observing how your teacher does what he does. Observe. Do you understand me? Observe. There are some things that might not be in his sermons that you will know by observation. Hallelujah. By observation. And we highlighted some things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By observation, you should have known that your pastor does not go online and comment on every person's status. No. I don't share everything in the body of Christ. No. Hallelujah. That's specifics. And I have a particular place where I share from. Hallelujah. Just observation. Are you hearing me? Observation. Glory to God. Are you following that? Are you following that? Just observe. Also, by observation, you should know your pastor only supports Chelsea. Then you observe. Observe. Be observant. Hallelujah. Just be observant. So, we say you observe. And then we also say a disciple must be able to do what? Interpret what? Yeah, scriptures and events in scriptures, right? Okay, events in scriptures. Well, let's look at that Haggai 2. So, now look at what Haggai is saying. Haggai 2. Haggai chapter number 2. Okay, from verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake the heavens and the earth, it is the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Take note of that. Verse 8, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine,
says the Lord of hosts, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater. Or the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. That word temple is the word house. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I want you to look at what he says. He says, the glory of this latter house. He's prophesying. And he says, the glory of this latter house. In verse 7, look at verse 7 again. It says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. 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 Where is he prophesying for? Where is he prophesying for? He's not just saying anything. No. Luke 24, from verse 25. Jesus came and said to them, O fool, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that spoke. He said, of not Christ to have suffered this and have entered into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses. Okay, Moses. Meaning Moses, I thought that it means Moses is the beginning. Beginning of what? Moses is the beginning of writing in scriptures. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, meaning Moses will stand out in verse 44. That these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled through the written in the law of Moses. You see, Moses is standing out. Why is Moses standing out? Because Moses is that prophet whom other prophets write from. Other prophets will prophesy from Moses. Are you following that? So, meaning, that tells you who a prophet is. Where are they prophesying from? They are prophesying from Moses. You don't just go and just say, you don't say, no, you are prophesying from him, from what he has written, the first five books. Hallelujah. So Moses will be that prophet whom every other prophet will prophesy from. Jesus will teach from him too. Why? Because he is the beginning of scriptures. Writing in scriptures. Glory to God. Look at that verse 7. It says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. Hallelujah. When he says the word temple, there is the word house. I'll fill this house. He's talking about what God will do. Hallelujah. I will say this for the sign for Moses. Let's look at Numbers quickly. Numbers. Follow me quickly. I have a whole lot of food here. Numbers chapter 14. Look at verse 21. It says, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? Truly as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. He said, I will fill this house with my glory. Did you see that? Did you see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. All the earth, meaning the house Haggai will be talking about, will be what? All the earth. Hallelujah. Are you following that? And all the earth that we are getting there. Glory to God. All the earth. Now look at the verse 21. I want to show you that all every other prophet prophesied for me. Wow. How come I'm doing this here? We've been here before. They open to Micah. Now Micah. Not Malachi. Micah. Micah 7. Quickly. Micah 7. Okay. Look at verse 21 there. Okay, verse 19 of that Numbers 14. Just put your hands within Numbers 14, 19 and Micah 7, 18. Look at something. They said, pardon the iniquity of these people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven these people from Egypt, even till now. Look at Micah. Look at how Micah will prophesy from there. Look at what Micah says. He says, God, who is like God? Or who is like you? Pardoning iniquity. Did you see that? Pardoning iniquity. I'm passing over the transgression of the remnant on, I'm passing over the transgression of the remnant on his heritage. He said he does not retain his anger forever. Hallelujah. Because his delight is in where? Is in mercy. Did you see that? Did you see that? Where is he prophesying from? He's prophesying from Moses. That's where Micah is prophesying from Moses. He's prophesying from where? That means he has seen Numbers 14:21. He has seen Exodus 2:80. Where he says, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the third and fourth generation. Remember I told you that visiting the iniquities of the father, not talking about he's going to come to them with rocks. Like we think, I'm going to visit the iniquity of your father upon children. No. He's referring to the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He's referring to God's mercy. So he has read Exodus 20. He has seen Exodus 20 and he's prophesying from there. And he's saying, God is the one that pardons iniquity. He does not retain his anger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, they are prophesying from Moses. Hallelujah. So, Haggai, just like Isaiah, Psalms, Micah, will be prophesying from whom? Moses. Hallelujah. Now, what would that prophecy be about? It will be about salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Right? It will be concerning who? Christ Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. So when he says the glory of the latter house, the glory of the latter house. So first of all, he shows you God's glory, God's purpose is what? His glory to fill the house. Are you seeing that? His glory to fill the house. And Moses showed us that house is what? All the earth. Habakkuk will now look at it, when we now prophesy from the same place, which is Habakkuk, in Habakkuk 2:14. It says, just like the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Just like the waters cover the sea, meaning all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Means everywhere will be filled with God's glory. They are prophesying from Moses. Are you seeing that? And it will be what? Concerning Christ. Right? Right? So when he says the glory of the latter house, when he says glory of the latter house, he's not referring to glory in the years to come. And some people say, the glory of the latter house. Some people like that. We'll get in there. Hallelujah. He's not referencing, he's not saying the glory in different years. No. But the glory of next year. That will be greater than the glory of this year. The glory of the next 10 years. That will be greater than the glory of the last 10 years. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? Let me show you the glory of 2021. It shall be greater than the glory of 2020. What do you know you're talking about? See, because the Bible says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Hallelujah! No, that is not what he's talking about. Are you following me? Glory to God. Rather, he's making reference to Exodus 33. He's making reference to Exodus 33 where we read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because when you look at Exodus 33, did we see two kinds of glory? Did we see two kinds of glory? We saw miracles, signs, and wonders. But I want to take your mind off it a bit. Now, we saw two kinds of glory in the miracle, signs, and wonders. Where did we see it? In the temple. The physical temple, right? 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 They saw glory. They saw the pillar of cloud descend on the temple. So then we saw two levels of glory. We saw that was in the physical temple. And we now saw the one that Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. Hallelujah. We saw two. And we said one was an hypodegma, right? We said one is an, is it A or N? It's Greek. What should I do? What should I do? Is it? Okay. You have to okay, is. I can't move fashion. Hallelujah. Okay, one is hypodegma. Put your hand there. Hallelujah. While the other is the real thing. Right? So, which one will be the hypodegma? The one in the temple. Hallelujah. The one in the temple is the hypodegma. That points to the real one. Hallelujah. Remember we said the writer of Hebrews told us that those things were shadows. And when God told Moses, make it according to the pattern shown you on the mount. He's not telling him the kind of bricks you should buy. Is it Dangote cement? God would have shown him Dangote cement on this, on the mount. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. So, what Moses would do would be a physical representation to point to what God showed him on the mount, which would be what? Heaven and earth. Amen. Which is the man in Christ. Glory to God. So, that physical temple is the hypodegma. That is a glory. Right? We saw the glory descend there. Okay, permit me to call it, that is a glory. That was a dispensation of what he saw. So now, Moses left that behind. Moses saw the cloud, the pillar of cloud descend. We saw that they will call pillar of cloud what? Glory. In 1 Chronicles, right? And 2 Corinthians, they call the pillar of cloud glory. So Moses saw that. The people of Israel saw it and they were rejoicing and bowing and worshiping. Moses left there. He says, God, show me your glory. It means that there's something that Moses knows about. He knows that thing is a shadow. So, I know. Show me your glory. Hallelujah. Now, Hagar will now write. I said, the glory of the latter house. That will be what? The latter house will be what Moses is asking for. Show me your glory. Did you see that? He said, it is greater than the former. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Amen. 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 That will be the latter glory. So, Hagar, just like other prophets, will be prophesying for Moses, and they will be writing concerning what? The prophets will be concerning what Christ will do. Christ's incarnation. Right? Christ's incarnation and resurrection. Remember, we said that's glory. When he says, show me your glory, will be twofold. Right? How? God's response to him is what? You cannot yet see my face. So that face, panim, we saw the two levels. It means a physical appearance, which will be likened to the incarnation, and then what? The resurrection. Right? Right? Because that word, panim, in the Greek is the word proskon. Used for a physical appearance and for the resurrection. Are you following that? Are you following that? Glory to God. So, that means what Moses was asking for was to see the incarnation and by extension the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Haggai will be writing concerning Christ's incarnation and resurrection too. Luke 24:25. He said, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory." Up not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. Shorthand for his death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. It says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. So, what would the prophet be writing about? His death and his resurrection. Hallelujah. So, his death will include his incarnation, the virgin birth. It's fact. These are facts of the gospel. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Haggai is writing here is not related to what some people do. I've seen a church before put as their theme, Haggai 2:9, the glory of the latter house. And what they were discussing for a whole full year was ambience. Ambience. Now that the church is now finer than the way it used to be, from downstairs to upstairs, without gallery to gallery, say, now can you see the later glory? Amen. No! If you read it that way, you would miss it. That can be the latter glory. Some people even use it for themselves. You see, can you not see? You are unable to. Can you not see? If you are reading that way, you are not a good disciple, because you must be able to interpret events in scriptures. And how would you learn to interpret events? Because you are taught well. Are you following that? As Paul would say to Timothy, you have continued in my doctrine. In verse 15, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Where did he learn from? From his teacher. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Amen. 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 It's just that there was a day somebody came to meet me years back. I'm not going to call the person's name, but with time I'll be unfolding little by little. And I said, sir, I love you. And I said, wow. I'll just listen and say, let me move away from, let me go to where there is breeze. That's what I want to say. Before people begin to look at, you know, someone has told me, sir, whenever you are talking, I would like to look at where you are. Maybe the person is around there. So, when you go to visit me, I say, sir, you know what I love with? I say, especially Pastor Dixon. I like her. He's going to spring. That man has anointing. I like, this is years back. I like how. He said, I used to see the anointing. He said, I don't ask how. You know, I was curious to see the way that. He said, the way he sweats. That sweat is anointing. I said, yes, man. Hallelujah. Sweat anointing. Man, that means the anointing upon the life of BK. Amen. No, we have the right to interpret scriptures rightly. Use Bible words rightly. Don't call, you know, we've been taught, you cannot call your pastor anointed man of God. You know, you can't say that. As in, seriously, you see your pastor say, ah, my pastor is an anointed man. No, you can't say that. Except you have not been taught. See, the anointing on the life of my pastor. Ah, I want to ask Pastor Wisdom, where should we start from? Should we take you to mustard seed or plant you again? Because you have been taught, right? That the one who is called anointed all through scripture is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It was never was anointing or anointed, it was never used for any man. Never. But the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Are you the anointed? No, it was about Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where were we? Okay, we are here. Hallelujah. So can you now see? Wrong interpretation of scriptures can affect your worship. Now imagine those people that will worship God, the glory of the latter house. Now they now have from... I'm trying to understand, I can't want to paint the picture of what I'm talking about. So, from using wired mic, and I'm using wireless mic. Oh, what a glory! Man of God, I saw the glory of God around you. Say, how? Man of God, I'm not using color mic. Is that glory? Hallelujah! Somebody now sees you with a car, say, wow, see glory. Car. No, now. See the glory. I can see the glory of God all over you. Look at your tear rubber. Glory of God rubber. Tear rubber. Did you see that? Wrong worship. Wrong worship. Say, I love the glory in that church. When you just get to the church, when the organist is anointed, when you go to pray, the glory just feels. You know, somebody has called this thing that comes out when on the stage. What do they call it? It has a name. Eh? Don't embarrass me. No, just say that thing. Just say that thing. Eh? That one? Eh? Okay, hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. Glory to God. Amen. You know, somebody has seen that a minister was preaching and was trying to illustrate something. And while he was illustrating, it's part of the illustration. That's it, just came out. He said, I saw the glory of God. Bro, you didn't hear that? No, you didn't see that glory that came out of the stage? no glory. Now, maybe that person's, you know, that will actually affect the person's worship. You see that? That is why we said Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. How you worship God is to the degree of your knowledge about Him. Some people think in this life, whenever they have issues, it's somebody that is doing them from somewhere. It's your knowledge that is a problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At least, if you think there's problem, yeah, it's only Africa. You know, someone said there are witches in Africa. That's why the problem of Africa is much. And God. That would take also your level, your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge about Him. Let's begin to close down on some things as we continue. So we say we can't worship God above our knowledge. So this is why Moses too knew that what he saw was not the glory of God. He knew what he saw there is not the glory. It is used to be like they liken that to the glory of God, but that is not the glory of God. They liken it. You know, when we get to talk about the revelation of God, we'll begin to, first thing we'll be able to see is how to differentiate between man's view from what God actually said. Do you understand? You'll be able to see that. Do you understand? So, you don't discover that it is there. That was what they likened it to be. They likened that cloud descending to be the glory of God. But Moses knew that was not the glory of God. And that guy said, "Leave down and show me your glory." Exodus 3, verse 20. So we began to look at the response. We say it's from the response of God to Moses that we know what Moses is asking about. Right? So from the response we are looking at, we are seeing what is the glory of God. Hallelujah. Verses 18. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make my goodness pass before you." Right? His goodness. Good thing, right? Hallelujah. Rah. "And I will proclaim my name. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will be compassionate. I will have compassion. I will have compassion." We said that word will imply I will be gracious. "And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy on." He brings in the word chen, chenan, which we have the root word to be chen, which is to blot out. Meaning what he's asking God concerning is concerning what the blotting out of sins, which is what forgiveness of sins is part. So what he was asking God for will be related to what Christ's redemption. Are you following me? Are you following me? Amen. Let's go ahead. We are investigating. Is that meant by goodness? Verse 20. But he said, "You cannot see my face." We constructed this, right? "You cannot see my face." Panim in the Greek. In Hebrew. Panim. Transliterated what? Proskorn in the Greek. Right? Hallelujah. "You cannot see my face." Rest with it based on how we've studied it yesterday. "Then shall no man see me and not come alive." Was that what we said? Right? "Cannot see, you cannot yet see my face. Because no man sees me and not come alive." Right? Hallelujah. That is what chaye, come alive. So we said God's plan, or God has always been speaking about what? Resurrection from the dead. You can't say, "I will see his face and I will die." No. No. Hallelujah. Even Moses corrected them that they heard his voice and they didn't die. They saw his glory and they didn't die. Hallelujah. We saw that, right? God doesn't kill. And we say when he talks about faith, it was referring to the incarnation. People saw Jesus. The word became flesh, John 1:14. They handled him, they touched him, and they didn't die. That means there's something with our understanding of scripture. So we have to come back and we'll look at it critically. We saw that in the interpretation, they had some syntax error. It is not talking about that they would die when you see his face. It means that when you see his face, he will come back alive. Hallelujah. He will come back alive. Glory to God. I would say that word face is likened to what? The incarnation, right? Right? Okay. So, the incarnation. So, when John writes John 1:14, and the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, Moses' prayer has been answered. Why? Moses' tabernacle has not happened. Now, that's the word tabernacle, and he tabernacled amongst us. John now went further to write. He said, and we beheld his glory. Which glory? Show me your glory, and we beheld his glory. Show me your glory, we beheld his glory. That is answered. Show me your glory, we beheld his glory. Peter will call it the excellent glory. That incarnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John in 1 John chapter 1, we say the word of life, and we handled him. We saw him with our eyes. We are eyewitness of his majesty. That's Peter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We saw him. They are righteous, like you will see that they saw him. They saw that glory, that incarnation. Hallelujah. Remember, I told us that we can't say that for ourselves. We cannot say we saw him. Did you see him? No, he didn't. But they saw him physically. Hallelujah. So when John writes and said, I will beheld his glory. I trust Pastor D. He likes that line. I will beheld his glory. Feel your grace. Okay, what did you behold? What did you behold? Nothing. You see anything? Hallelujah. Because that glory is writing and writing that God was communicating in John 1:14 is the incarnation. You didn't see the incarnation. You didn't see that glory. But they did. Hallelujah. They did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, show me your glory. We beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to verse 1. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. I've heard someone interpret this and I took it. I thought it was Rema. But I found out that my Rema has caught fire. See, when God said to Moses, my backside will pass by you. You know what that means? Some people don't know, your pastors have remembered. So let's come back. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So he said there's a place by me. That word place is from the Hebrew word makom. Makom. M-A-Q-O-M. Makom. That word place, makom, is a word that signifies a location, a room, a dwelling place. A dwelling place. You find it in Exodus 16:29. Exodus 21:23. Genesis 24:23. Quickly rush to Genesis 24:23. Genesis 24:23. And said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? Room in your father's house. Room. That's the word. Room. Room. Hallelujah. A place to dwell. A place to dwell. Hallelujah. So let's observe that Exodus 23 again. We're going to be a bit far. Exodus 3:21. Quickly. So there's a place by me. So when it calls, when it says place, you should understand that it's a dwelling place he's speaking of. You're talking about there's a place out there. No, it means there's a dwelling place. Hallelujah. So when you use the word there's a place by me, that word by, that preposition by is used, is a preposition that signifies in. So when I say there's a place by me, that doesn't mean there's a place in me. That word by, many also Tyron is used in the Old Testament Hebrew. Oh, Old Testament Hebrew, like that. Old Testament Hebrew, it refers to something that is inside. Jonathan, inside someone. Hallelujah. or is it interpreter's discretion to use either by or in? But yeah, it's actually in. Hallelujah. So what God is speaking of to Moses is that there is a place in me. And it's similar to what Jesus taught in John chapter 14, verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Say, if it was not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. Did you see that? There's a place in me. It's the same thing. So meaning Jesus from in John 14 is teaching from Exodus. Hallelujah. The place in the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In my Father's house, my Father's family, there's a place in me. In my Father's house, my Father's family, there are many mansions. Mansions refer to rooms. You said that to run again. Hallelujah. So hence, Exodus 3 speaks of a place in God for men to dwell. Hallelujah. 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 I have something here in my notes. So the place first is not a literal house. When you say there's a place, that means not a literal house, but men dwelling in God. That is the union of God and man. That is what God is writing about. So he's talking about what I said God is writing. God is talking about, speaking of, the union of God and man. Are you following me? The union of God and man. When I say there is a place by me, what comes to mind? Heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. God's plan of redemption. There's a place by me. Are you following that? There's a place by me. He's talking about that union. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's continue. There's a place by me. And you shall stand on the rock. And you shall stand on the rock. Rock. That word stand is a Hebrew word, Natsab. Natsab. N-A-T-S-A-B. Natsab. That word Natsab means to establish. To establish. To place. To establish. So you shall stand. Hallelujah. And you shall stand on the rock. You shall be established. God is giving him a word ahead of time. That you shall be established. You shall be placed on the rock. That's what he says. You shall be placed. That's what to be placed, to place. Now that word rock, you've had that study before, but let's look at it again. That word rock is used by Moses in Exodus 17:6, Deuteronomy 8:15 for what is literal. Used literally, rock. Use it literally. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4, is used for God. It said, ascribe all the greatness to our God. It said, he is the rock. So he calls God the rock in Deuteronomy. It calls God the rock. In verses 5, verses 15, Deuteronomy 32, verses 15. He calls him the rock of our salvation. He calls him the rock of our salvation. Hallelujah. The rock of our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Glory to God. Glory to God. If that's going to understand. Paul explained that the rock is Christ, right? Right? He said that rock that followed them. So, first we understand that this is 1 into 3. He calls the rock Christ. And he said, the rock that followed them. So it's called the rock Christ. And that has to do with the message that followed them in the wilderness. That is the message of Christ, right? Hallelujah. Why? In Matthew 7, 24 to 27, we use the word rock. Jesus used that word rock for what is immovable. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. He said, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. On the rock. On the rock. Hallelujah. On the rock. So use it for what is immovable. Therefore, the word rock is explained figuratively as what is immovable or is forever. So Moses taught the rock as eternal life in Jesus. How about Moses taught it to be? As eternal life in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he says, there's a place by me, why? When, let's go back to Isaiah 3. Let's read that well. How many of you are following me? How many of you are following me? Let me see your hands. You are following what I'm saying. As in, you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't understand, right? How many of you? You don't understand. Yeah, there's a lot of you. You're men of God. Let me see your hands, man. Okay, you don't... You've missed rapture. Let me see your hands. You've missed me. Let me see your hands. You missed me somewhere. I want to come back. You've missed me somewhere. Let me see your hands. Okay, so we are together, right? Okay. Oh, you missed me somewhere. Where did you miss me? Did you stand up? You never stood up. Okay, first Corinthians 1:10. What did you miss there? But you understood what I said before, what I said after. Eh? So that one, hold it. Yes, but I have to help you. Hold it. When you are done with this meeting, meet your pastor. Let him explain. He will not recommend, you know, these are things you will not recommend. Just like when you see a doctor, you don't prescribe. Not recommend the message you go and listen to where that is from. You understand? But that's when he says the rock. Did you open to 1 Corinthians 10?
Yes,
sir. You were not there. That is why you didn't understand. If you were there, you would have seen what I was saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you follow your pastor. If I quote the scripture, rush there. Amen. Just why it's just wisdom. Then, from us, just flow. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 10. Right? So when it's called, talks about the rock. It says the rock that followed them. And we said that rock, in that calls, we said that rock that followed them is what is Christ, right? The rock is Christ. So that means what they had with them in the wilderness, because that was an explanation of the Old Testament, what happened in the wilderness. So what they had in the wilderness that followed them is the message of Christ. Listen to the message, understanding the gospel. Get to listen. When you hear me sound, listen to the message, understanding the gospel. You should listen to it too. So some people are more busier than we procrastinating. 3 months have passed, you're not listening to it. That's why you're asking. It's the same. Hallelujah. Get back to listen. Hallelujah. We have it there 2:8. I did explain it. Hallelujah. So it talks about the message that follows them, and that message is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So Exodus 33. Let's go back to Exodus 33. Verses 21. Quickly. So when it says, and you shall stand on the rock. So when it uses the word you shall stand on the rock, it means you shall be established upon the rock. Right? Right? Hallelujah. So, what is that rock? Salvation. Right? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Was it ministered as a promise then? Yes. Right? Right? So, Moses being established upon the rock is again a promise of eternal life, which is the resurrection from the dead found in Christ. The promise of eternal life. So, God is telling him that, hey, there will be the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. And he says, you will be found too. Do you understand me? Are you following that? Hallelujah. And the writer of Hebrews now helps us out. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 39. And it says, and all these having obtained a good testimony, true faith, just like Moses, did not receive the promise. But God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So he couldn't receive the eternal life while he was yet alive. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. He said, and all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them from afar off. Hallelujah. We are assured and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hallelujah. So they had that confession that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it couldn't be. They couldn't receive the promise while they were alive. So it's the same thing. God is telling Moses ahead of time that, hey, you cannot see my face now. Meaning you cannot see the incarnation. Neither can you see the resurrection. Remember, we are saved in the resurrection. Hallelujah. But he said there's a place by me. He's not telling him about the resurrection. There's a place by me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and I will cause you to stand on the rock. Right? Right? To be established on the rock. Now, is he telling you it's the same promise? The rock will be eternal life in Christ. And he's telling him, hey, in the resurrection, you will be found too. Because he believes the messaging of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a preacher of it. Are you following that? So let's see. Look at chapter 12. You have to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Are you in Hebrews 12? Oh, sorry. Verses 23. 22. 22, yeah. You have come to Mount Zion. Say the city of the living God. This is what happens to us when telling us what has happened to us in Christ. It says, we have come to Mount Zion, said the city of the living God, said to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, said to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of just men. Now when you say, yeah, when you hear the spirit of just men, you have to now investigate what is he talking before concerning just men. The just man will not take you back to Hebrews chapter 10. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, I guess, 38. Then, 37 to 38, I guess, yeah. 7 to 38. Then, in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith in the Old Testament. Verses 2 to 3 talks about the elders. Those are the just men. Began to call their name. Hallelujah. Call their name. And it now says, they all died without receiving the promise. Did you see that? Who all died without receiving the promise? The just men. Are you following that? In verses 13 to 14, they couldn't obtain it. Who? The just men. Now, in chapter 12, because they cannot be made perfect apart from us. You see that? Glory to God. When it says apart from us, they can't be made perfect without the resurrection. Hallelujah. And we are found in the resurrection. Hallelujah. So what did he now say in chapter 12? He says, we have come to the spirit of just men. Now the Greek push is now made perfect. You see that? Now made perfect. Because as at this point, he's talking about what has happened to us in the resurrection. So that means in the resurrection too, they are now made perfect. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Who? The just men. That means Exodus 33, verse 21 has been fulfilled in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 24. Verses 24. Oh no, verses 23. So you can have a cross reference there. Did you see that? That's how you do cross reference. You can have a cross reference in your Bible. Exodus 33, 21 fulfilled. Just men now made perfect. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that will be the promise fulfilled. Glory to God. So while Moses was alive, did he receive the promise? Huh? Has he received it now?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. When did he receive it? In the resurrection. Exodus 33. Let's begin to close down on this today. Oh, we still have a lot to look at. Some to look at, not a lot. Exodus 33, are you there? So I said there's a place for me. Right? So it shall be. While my glory passes. I want you to see this. While my glory passes. That I will put you on the cleft of the rock. And will cover you. Listen. With my hand. While I pass by. What's he talking about? He said, yeah. As God was passing. He saw his back parts. God was passing. The back part of God. Do you want to get the rim of the back part? The back part of God means. That was why Moses could write Genesis and write about Abraham that he never saw. Look at your head. Like my own dying. Yeah, hallelujah. Have you not written Genesis by now?
Yeah, you have written Genesis.
Amen. But God. Glory to God. Amen. So let's continue. So let's look at that word, cleft of the rock, so I will understand what he's saying. I will say there's a place by me, that means, sorry, 32, while my glory passes, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. Let's look at that word, cleft. Cleft of the rock. It is the Hebrew word, nequara. Nequara. N-E-Q-A-R-A-H. Nequara. It implies to create a space. To create a space. To create a space. Does that bring back John 1, John 14? Right? Right? My father's house are many mansions. So that is God's promise of eternal life. Hallelujah. And I will put you in the cleft of the rock. That's it. I will cover you with my hands. That word, I will cover you, is the Hebrew word sakak. Sakak. S-A-K-A-K. Sakak. It implies to clothe, to shield, to overshadow. Just as I will shield you. I will overshadow you. I will clothe you. Hallelujah. I will cover you. So it implies in salvation, God shields. God shields. Are you following me? Hallelujah. In verse 23, now says, I will take away, then I will take away my head and you will see my back. And when it says, I will take, now that word hand, look, listen, when it uses the word head in verse 22, it's used for God's shield, right? In verse 22. Now the use of the word hand in verse 22 and verse 23 are different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it says, I will take away my head, it didn't mean, it's not saying I will stop shielding you, no. It means the result. Hallelujah. That will be the result of the hands. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's talking about the result. So the result of the hand is that Moses will see his back part. And you will see my back. You will see my back. So what is his back? Let's see that back. That word back. Or back part is the Hebrew word akor. Akor. A-C-H-O-R. Just like you're pronouncing ankle. Akor. It's used for a rare or a thing. The rare of a thing. Now, when you hear the rare of a thing, you have to listen to what I want to say next. Or seeing things ahead. Now, when you say rare of something, meaning you are seeing. What am I saying? I'm seeing the rear, but it's ahead of me. Right? Right? Seeing things ahead of. So that is the back part. The back part means you're going to see things ahead of. Are you following me? If you have that reference in 2 Samuel 1:22. Second Samuel 10:9. Let's go to 2 Samuel 10 verse 9 to show something. 2 Samuel 10:9. So, when Jacob saw, that the battle was against him. Before and behind, he chose some of his Israel best and put them in battle. In battle, I will against the Syrians. When Jacob, I mean when Joab, when Joab saw that the battle line was against him, before, that is behind, that is before and behind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when he talks about behind, he's not talking about behind his body, not part of, he's not behind like his body parts, no. You understand me? He's not referring to his body parts behind, like my back. You understand? Are you following me? When God says, you see my back. So when he uses it here, when that word is used here, behind, not referring to his literal back space. Do you understand? Are you following me? Not referring to. So that means you take your eyes away from the fact that Moses saw God's final court. No. You didn't see that. Hallelujah. Not referring to a body part. In Proverbs 29:11, quickly. Proverbs 29:11. It says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A wise man holds them back. It's used for future occurrences. Yeah. A wise man holds them back. In Isaiah 41:23, is the word thereafter. Isaiah 41:23. Isaiah 41:23. That's what thereafter. Say, show me the things that are to come thereafter. That is the word back. Thereafter. Are you following me? That is the word back part. I call thereafter. In Isaiah 42. Are you following me? In Isaiah 42:23. Who amongst you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the sign to come? For the sign to come. That is the word time to come. That word akor is actually not a physical body part. No. Hallelujah. So, it's not God's physical body parts he's discussing here. Rather, it relates to God. Let me read what I have on my notes. Therefore, in conclusion, the back part of God here does not relate to God's back. Like back. You understand? Because Moses couldn't see God yet as heaven. Moses couldn't see God yet. Why did you say that? I want to wait for revelation. Do you wait for that message? There's something we will be but what was that song? Spoke to him face to face. Calm down. Just calm down. But Moses couldn't see God yet. That was why, in fact, it was because Moses couldn't see God, or hasn't seen God, or couldn't see God. That was why he said, show me your glory. He knew what he was asking for. Are you hearing me? So, we couldn't see God. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. Hallelujah. So, he couldn't see God. So, he couldn't be referring to his physical back. Are you following that? Couldn't be referring to his physical back. So, rather, seeing God's back part implies Moses will see events or things ahead of time. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You will see my back part, meaning you will see events ahead of time. You see things ahead of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things that will happen in the future before they happen. Things that will happen. What will be those things that will happen? They will see and write concerning salvation in Christ Jesus. Are you following that? They will see and write concerning salvation. They will see and write and speak concerning salvation in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that was why, you know, he wrote much more, he wrote about the incarnation of God. God dwelling in man. Glory to God. Exodus 32. In conclusion, we're getting closer. We're close. We're getting closer. We're closing. Watch this. Hallelujah. So, glory to God. So he said, you shall see my back. Hallelujah. He said, but my face cannot be seen. So what it means that my face cannot be seen, really, you will write up things ahead. Eh? But as regards the incarnation, it's not yet. But my face cannot be seen yet. Hallelujah. That's what he's telling him. You cannot see my face yet. Which is what? The face will be what? The incarnation. Right? And then the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Have you learned something today? Have you learned something today? So the glory of God. The glory of God is not that tabernacle. It's not the miracle signs and wonders. The glory of God will be seen in Christ's redemption. Will be seen in redemption. Hallelujah. The glory of God will be seen in redemption. The glory of God will be seen in the incarnation, in the resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So we'll investigate. That will be next week. To see what is His glory. What is this greater glory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've seen that when Jesus became, or when God became man in John 1:14, that is the answer to Moses' prayer. Right? Right? That is the answer to Moses' prayer. The glory of God has happened. God in man. Hallelujah. God has happened. Or the glory of the glory that Moses asked to see has happened. I will say that glory will first of all see it in the incarnation and then where? In the resurrection. So what is it in the resurrection? And when Moses said, when God said through Moses that the earth will be covered with his glory, what does it mean? Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Glory to God. Talk to your neighbor and share with the neighbor what you meant today.